Hello
Hello.
and welcome. We want to welcome you to Freedom's Way and our message for tonight. For anybody that has opened this message from our website or as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand this is a live teleconference meeting. So there are going to be people who are dialing in from all over the place. We'll give them a chance to get here. So we'll start our message in about 3 to 5 minutes. And anytime you podcasters, anytime you would like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meetings, they're held every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
You
605-475-2090. Enter your access code 373-363-pound, or you can go online to freedomswayministries.com for more information about us. Hallelujah. So who do we have online tonight?
Emmanuel.
Stephen, Cindy.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Stephen, Cindy. Hi, Emmanuel.
Oh, hello, Mr.
And I think I heard Kyle.
Oh, yes. I'm going to leave.
Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Welcome, you all. Somebody needs to push star.
Six.
On your phone.
Hello. On your phone.
Connect.
So that we won't be getting the feedback.
All right. I will do.
Who is that? Annette?
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, so I have Annette. I have Manny. Manuel.
Yes.
I have Kyle. Hi, Kyle. And Stephen Cindy. Hi, Claudia. Welcome.
Hey there. Thank you.
So glad to have you all here. And those of you who are located in the frozen wasteland of the north, we are praying for you. Hallelujah.
I made it through this ticket.
Hi, Mitch.
Hi, sis. All right, I'll be back out. Thank you.
All righty. We're going to be having high 70s and into the low 80s, I think, this week. So think of us. And if you get cold, just think of us. Praise the Lord.
It's negative 18
anybody
here.
Oh, no. 18 below?
Yes.
That's like below zero?
Yes.
That is so far beyond my belief system. I can't wrap my brain around it. Montana. Oh, help them, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to say hello? I'm surprised.
Hi,
you can talk. Hey,
hi, Vicki. They had surgery on my husband today. They couldn't wait.
Oh, good. They went for them and did it. Good. I'm so glad. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Well,
thank you, God.
We'll see what happens, if we don't have to have any more surgeries or not.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we'll just continue to lift you up, you and your husband. Praise the Lord.
My whole family.
Amen.
Yeah.
Who else would like to say hello before we get started tonight? Anybody? Well, all righty then. for those of you who are new on the line, I am going to mute your telephones. What that means is that you'll still be able to hear us, but we will not be able to hear you if there's any background noise in your house or your car or wherever you happen to be calling from. And the lines will stay clear so that you can hear us. So hang in there with us for a moment. And then after the message, I will let you know how to unmute your telephone line so that you're back in the conference with us. Praise the Lord.
Now, keep in mind, you can always mute with your own mute button.
That's only after
you've been unmuted by the system.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Welcome, everyone. We are Freedom's Way Ministries. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. And our mission is to help you come into your full, true identity in Christ, be all that God has created you to be, and anything we can do in that area, we are here to assist you in that. And we can do so in so many ways. So hallelujah, God is good. He's moving through this ministry. And tonight we have a really powerful message for you. You are going to be blessed and be thankful that you tuned in tonight. This is one of those barnstormers. So get your seatbelts on. I'm going to pray us in, and we're going to get started. Hallelujah. Welcome all. Father God, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that it's your word and that your anointing is on your word. So thank you, Lord, that we are alert, willing, and ready to receive all that you have for us tonight, God. So I just ask that you anoint this word. I say, Holy Spirit, you have your way with us tonight. Speak to your people in an amazing way, powering them to walk in your goodness and strength and authority. Thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. We say, have your way again, Holy Spirit. And in the name of Jesus, I turn aside any interloper or any spirit from hell that would try to disrupt, blunt out, or in any way distract this message from doing and for delivering the point that God would have delivered into the hearts of his people. So God bless you tonight as you hear. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. We put it in your hands. Again, say, have your way. And I just say, God bless you as you're here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, this is the third in our series on developing godly relationships. And tonight, we're going to talk about how relational messages affect your calling. How relational messages affect your calling. Now, if you have missed any of these meetings, after the message tonight, you can ask me for dial-in number and access codes for the meetings that you missed. But we just really hope, Phil and I really hope, that you all enjoyed your Christmas time this year with family and friends, and that what you've heard so far on our meetings about relationships has helped you navigate the rough spots. Sometimes our relatives are the ones we find hardest to relate to. They are related to us, but seem to be unrelatable. But relating to others, especially family members and those who live in your house, relating to others is unavoidable. God is a relational God. And if we're going to learn to be involved with God, if we're going to be involved with God, we will have to be involved in relationships with others. So far, we have learned what we already knew. God wants us in agreement with Him And he wants us to honor each other in relationships. Satan wants us in disagreement with God and dishonoring each other in our relationships. And that's the basis of these messages. We have to learn how to play well with others by honoring them. When we honor God's people, we are also honoring Him. Relationships succeed or they fail based on the strength or the breakdown of communication. One of Satan's most effective schemes to destroy relationships is to keep people focused on topical issues in conversation and blinded to the relational messages which lie beneath the words. There are two levels in every conversation. In order to honor each other, to retain truth in our own self-image, and to build up rather than break down relationships in our lives, we have to be aware of the different levels of communication. The topic of conversation is not necessarily the message that is conveyed in the conversation. I should say that again. The topic of the conversation is not necessarily the message that is conveyed in that conversation. If I tell you to slow down, you're driving too fast, there are two relational messages that are carried in those words. One is from heaven and one is from hell. Wow. God's message is, I love you and I want to protect you from injury, from hurting yourself or hurting others, and to save you from a possible financial burden in the form of a traffic citation. Satan's message is, you are a menace to society, you can't be trusted because you don't know what you're doing, and you don't know how to drive and you're stupid.
See, this sounds like a familiar conversation. Anyway, moving right along. This is, this is the scheme of the enemy to destroy relationships. Satan set up this system of bringing division and damage through relational false identity messages as we communicate with each other. Once we are trained to react out of past hurts and unmet needs, rather than to respond out of love for people, for God and His people, it's a simple thing for the devil to just drop by once in a while to oil the mechanism of failure to communicate. We can then self-destruct without any more intrusion from the enemy. The devil wants to curse our identity. God wants to bless our identity. Which message we receive will depend on our relationship with God and our trust in Him. Hallelujah. The relational identity message we receive is also tied into how much focus we put on ourselves as opposed to on the other person. Both God and the devil will use human agents to convey their message of identity to us. Our job is to recognize which message is true and which is false, and not fall victim of feelings of worthlessness.
Yeah.
We also need to avoid being used in a scheme of the enemy to cause another person to feel worthless or devalued. One father asked his son, "Why does your girlfriend like you?" And the young man answered, "She thinks I'm cool. She thinks I'm a good dancer. And she thinks I'm handsome." The father then asked, "And why do you like your girlfriend?" He answered, "Because she thinks I'm cool. She thinks I'm a good dancer. And she thinks I'm handsome."
Oh, hallelujah. It kind of reminds me of the woman years ago I was ministering with this lady. And I asked her what she thought was wrong with her marriage. And she said, "We're both in love with the same man." You know, the point is, we all like to be around people who enforce us in a feeling of honor and value. They answer the "who am I" question in a way that lifts us up rather than bringing us down. Conveying dishonor is not in agreement with God. We can be speaking what is factual, but not the truth. Let me explain. There is a difference in what is true and real and what is the truth. Truth is what God says, not in what is often manifested in our reality. My desire, and Phil can attest to this, my desire is to transcend my circumstances, and it takes God's truth to do that. I have no interest in living in reality. I want to live in the truth. The relational messages I give and those I receive can bring that which is manifesting in reality, it can bring it in line with the truth. We should never fall victim to changing the Word of God to line up with our experience. Religion does enough of that already. Truth is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. John 8, verse 31-32 says this, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Last week, we talked a little bit about how men and women view value differently. Men find value in what they do, and women find value in security. So husbands need to be found competent and adequate, while wives need to feel loved and secure. We also looked at seven things to follow to resolve relational conflict. So if you weren't with us last week, you can ask for the playback numbers for these meetings if you missed them. So for now, we're going to look deeper into the second of those steps to help resolve relational conflict. The first was to ask God to make us sensitive to the other person's heart and to feel what they're feeling. It doesn't matter if we're right or if they deserve to be hurt or if they shouldn't make a big deal out of something.
Oh, amen. That's such a common thing, especially in marriages, you know. One person will feel hurt about something and the other one will say, "Oh, you shouldn't make such a big deal about it."
Yeah, that sounds like another one of them. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:18. "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Wow. The thing we want to focus on in greater measure now is step two, getting our hearts healed so that we can repent to the other person sincerely. Jesus' word in John tells us it is the truth that makes us free. So let's get some truth and some freedom. Amen? The book of 1 Peter and Galatians 5 both have a lot to say about freedom and how we can walk in it and live our lives as free men. We also see in the word that freedom is connected to honoring others. In 1 Peter 2:15-18, "For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may be put to silence, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward.
Oh,
that is a simple word and difficult to follow.
Yeah.
Here in 1 Peter, we see that it is God's will. It is the will of God that we put to silence ignorance by doing the right thing as we serve God and by honoring everyone. Honor all men. A-L-L, all. And that means women too, of course. Honor all, not just the ones we like. Ouch. Love the brotherhood. That would be our own difficult family members. It doesn't refer to the local lodge. Hello. Stand in reverential awe of God. Honor the king. Those are the people who have rule over us, our government leaders. You know, we have a great opportunity right now to realize that honoring someone doesn't mean you have to agree with them or that we are pleased with their actions or their attitudes. In other words, we can honor our president while we work to vote him out of office.
Amen.
These verses tell us to obey those in authority over us, whether we consider them good or whether we think they're evil. In the corporate workplace, most of us have learned, I know I did, it's not better to be right than to be president. Even if he's wrong, he's the boss. He's going to have things his way in his domain. We are free men and should walk as free men, not using our freedom for malicious purposes, but honoring others instead of breaking them or bringing them down. You know, the word perversion, perverse tongue, all of that, it means to subvert and overthrow. We're trying to help you come out from those kinds of words. If those people are in the wrong, we need to trust God, that God will right the wrongs that are committed as we do what he has told us to do. So here are a few verses from Galatians to help us along.
You read those things.
Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 17. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Not only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of the of another. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Wow. That is a powerful scripture. I recommend that you study that one out and meditate on it. But here again we see we've been called to liberty, not so that we can fulfill selfish desires and express soulish emotions. In our freedom, we are to love one another, and therein lies the distinction between the flesh and the spirit. Flesh is the carnal nature of Satan, the nature we lived in until we are born again, experience, reconnected us to our true nature, God's nature. Flesh is the nature of Satan, the sin that dwells within, as Paul said it, that still wants to drag us down from our heavenly place in Christ. As we've mentioned on more than one occasion, in many ways we have been trained by the enemy, and we find it easy to fall into agreement with old patterns of thinking and doing. Satan's schemes work in what we call the flesh, which is his nature, and the patterns that he's built into us. The flesh in us is always a reactor that reacts out of past hurts and unmet needs, while the spirit in us is an initiator looking for ways to start new things. We get to choose whether we will walk in the flesh or walk in the spirit. It's my choice. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We have a choice. Unfortunately, we ourselves can't always see that we're walking in the flesh, that we're reacting to situations from old patterning rather than responding with newness of life. Wow. But even though we don't see the flesh inside us sometimes, other people will. They'll see it, and they do see it. Oh, hallelujah. One of the giveaways is that when we're in the flesh, so to speak, we will send messages of dishonor, we'll be hurting people, and we will be ministering death instead of life. We are a part of the body of Christ, meant to bring life and not death. When we're walking in the Spirit, we will be sending messages of honor and blessing. We'll be uplifting people and ministering life. Deception about the messages we send is a powerful weapon of Satan. So how is it that we can be so deceived in this?
The simple answer is that we have allowed the devil to answer the who am I question, and we bought his answer.
Wow.
When we receive the wrong identity message, it puts fear and hurt on the inside of us, and the flesh rises up to fix the problem and protect us. The reaction of the flesh is to hurt those who hurt us and dishonor those who dishonor us. When we agree with this old pattern of behavior, we are no longer free men who can walk in the Spirit.
Ooh, say that again.
When we agree with this old pattern of behavior, many people think of it as the old man, we are no longer free men who can walk in the Spirit.
It steals your freedom.
Amen. Yeah, simple as that. Because it is our desire. Walk in the Spirit. That's where the blessings are. Hallelujah. The Word tells us if we are free, we are to honor all men and to be submissive to those in authority, even if they are froward. The Greek word there is scolios, from which we get our word scoliosis, the twisting of the spine. It means bent, warped, and twisted. Froward people are bent out of shape. They are unreasonable in the actions and attitudes. Yet we are to honor them and be submissive to their authority. Wow. That's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
However, doing so carries a wonderful reward. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You know, we've heard that expression so many times. Oh, he's bent out of shape. He just got so bent out of shape about that. Well, hello. Here it is right here. 1 Peter 2:19, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Oh, hallelujah. For this, honoring those who dishonor us, submitting to an unreasonable boss, loving people who are bent out of shape all the time. This is thankworthy. Oh, God's ways are not our ways. Thankworthy. That's the Greek word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, from which we get our word charismata, charisma, charis. It literally means graciousness. It's taken from a root word that means calmly happy and full of cheer. Calmly, peacefully happy, and full of cheer. Charis is the empowering presence of God in our lives. It is His favor on us. The specific definition of charis is this: divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. The reflection of that divine influence coming through in your life. Your life becomes the testimony. We find amazing favor when we honor others, especially when we are honoring those that we consider dishonorable. I can attest to that. So receiving the correct God-given identity message is vital to being able to walk in the Spirit as free men. You have to receive the correct God-given identity message. We receive and draw identity information from different sources. We have our five senses, what we see and hear and touch and taste and smell. We have the Spirit of God, and we have the enemy. All these sources call out to us, and we have to determine which one we will receive and allow to influence us. We started out by saying we're going to talk about how relational messages affect our calling. So let's examine that next.
I know somebody's out there going, wait a minute, when's she going to get to the title?
Well, first of all, what is our calling? Our calling is what we are called, not by people, but by God. It is also what we are called to, not by people, but by God. The Lord calls us prophets, priests, and kings. He calls us saints. He calls us His righteousness. God calls us ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors in His kingdom, occupying forces in the earth, and enforcers of faith in the Spirit.
I love that. Enforcer of faith.
Hallelujah. There's even more to God's calling. It's a high calling, and it's on each and every one of us. No one is exempt.
Thank you, Lord.
This is what we are called in addition to what God calls us. The Bible tells us many things which we are called by God.
We're called to. We're called to these things.
Yes, many things that we are called to by God. Forgive me for missing that. 2 Peter 1:1-3. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue.
Hallelujah.
This calling, the calling to glory and virtue, is God's calling on us. He wants us to realize we have his divine power to shine forth his glory and exhibit his virtue.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's our calling from God. Unfortunately, others also put calling on our lives. When people call you something and you receive it, that calling has power. We let all kinds of people call us all kinds of things, and if we put faith in the things they say, they may come to pass. Remember, Hebrews 11:1 tells us faith is substance. Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing. When we hear and then mix faith with what we hear, positive or negative, it happens.
That is so, so true. Wow. I'm going to give a little testimony. This is an example from Freedom's Way. Many years ago, when God called my late husband and me into vocational ministry, we went to our pastor and we asked for his blessing in ordaining us so that we could proceed with whatever God wanted us to do. Now, we'd been in his church since he started the church, and we had brought to that church most of the families who became his congregation. My husband was a graduate of Rhema Bible College. We were working in the church. He was working as a deacon. I was working as a deliverance minister. And this pastor himself had pledged to us that as the church grew, his intention was to put us on staff. Well, long story short, when we asked for the ordination, he said no. He would not ordain us. We were not seasoned enough for ministry, and that we would be ineffective. Totally opposed to what God had told us to do. Now, what he said didn't make a lot of sense because we were already working in the ministry, in the church. Some of it was pretty deep stuff we were doing. And then he told us if we could get an ordination someplace else, go ahead and do it. So we did. A pastor at Pleasant Valley Church released us into ministry, and the pastor from our previous church, who was also a teacher at the Bible College, issued us an official ordination. So we were pretty excited, and we went back to our pastor to tell him the good news. I mean, we were excited. We wanted to share this good news and to ask if we could hold a small reception at the church. The man was livid. I don't think I have ever seen a man so angry before. He told us we were rebellious, we were insubordinate, and he cursed us with these words, "You don't know what you're doing. God didn't call you. You'll never amount to anything in ministry, and I will see to it that you never minister anywhere." You can imagine what that did to our identity, the messages that we were given in that conversation, in that relational message. Now, the pastor never said, "Get out, leave my church," but he stripped us of our positions in the church, and he told us we were not allowed to talk to anybody in the church, which was ridiculous because most of them were our friends before he ever met them. And it was a real slap in the face. It was a hammer to the heart. And we felt the full weight of that sledgehammer to the heart. Because we truly loved this man. And we had great respect for him and for our church. He was an amazing teacher. His words and his demeanor toward us were open doors for depression, fear, uncertainty, self-pity, self-focus, and distrust. And there was a time that could easily have been second-guessing for us. Did God really say? Now, isn't that the devil's word to Eve? Did God really say? You know, we were questioning. Are we really ready? Are we good enough? Can we do this? There were a few touch-and-go moments, but we both knew what God wanted from us. Had we put our faith in the words of this pastor, Freedom's Way would not exist today. Phil and I would not be doing what we're doing. None of the books would have been written. None of the hundreds of people over the last 20 years would have been set free. None of that would have happened.
Wow. Powerful. Many people do put their faith in the wrong identity message. By doing so, they endow someone in the world with authority as an expert on their identity. They allow themselves to become identified by a person rather than by the Lord Jesus Christ. When we don't consult God, this is what happens. Someone who feels threatened or carries inner anger or hurt or whatever comes along and knocks on the doors of our hearts with a curse against our identity, and we open the door to them and give them expert status to define who we are. Oh, yes. Believe me, there is not a person on the planet who loves you enough to define your identity, not even yourself.
Amen.
If you can find someone walking around with nail prints in his hands because he hung on a cross and died for you, then that guy can tell you who you are. Otherwise, don't listen. Learn to say this: Jesus Christ is the only one who has earned the right to tell me who I am. I so wish I had this message at a younger age.
Amen.
Amen. Don't we all? You know, we have to let the blood of Jesus be the filter on our ears, especially when it comes to things we hear about ourselves. I was called incompetent, rebellious, and unable to hear from God. I was said to be insubordinate, prideful, and some things that truly are not repeatable. If I had allowed that to be my calling, there are many people who might have missed what God wanted to pour through me. Maybe you're one of those people. Each and every one of us has to receive God's calling, not man's calling, on our lives. And there are a few things we can develop within ourselves to help ensure that we receive the proper calling. Thank you, Lord. So let's go back to 2 Peter. Remember, we just read we are called to glory and virtue.
2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Whereby, that refers back to being called to glory and virtue. In other words, because we are called to glory and virtue, we are given precious promises. That by these, again, glory and virtue, can we partake of God's nature and not succumb to the corruption in the world? This is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
That's basically the corruption in the world. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life.
Amen. The passage goes on to give us elements we must be eager to develop within ourselves. 2 Peter 1:5-7. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Wow. This then is the progression. First, we must believe God. That is our faith. We believe what God says about us, and we accept his calling on us instead of endowing some man or woman in the world the authority to define our identity. Next, we add virtue. This means excellence and power. It is an issue of character, the strength of our inner man. When our character is right and virtuous, then we increase in knowledge, the knowledge of God. To me, that doesn't mean knowing about God. It means knowing God, what God knows, hearing his heart on the matter, whatever the matter may be. Next, it is vital for us to develop temperance or self-control so that as we gain knowledge, we don't become puffed up and arrogant with a know-it-all attitude.
Amen. Amen. You know, and I just want to interrupt here for a moment because when we do have those glimpses of the knowledge of God, knowing what God knows, it can make us feel pretty powerful, pretty prideful.
That's true. That is true. Amen.
We have to watch that.
So patience comes next. This word translates cheerful endurance. Lots of us can endure, but how many of us do it cheerfully? We can all grow in this word. At this point, we add godliness, which is devotion to the gospel and agreement with God's plan. You know, it's only when we are reverentially positioned and have these traits developed in us that we can sincerely appreciate others and show them honor and preference. And finally, we must become fully developed in love. That is when we receive God's message, no matter what is said by others, and we can reflect God's character.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go on in 2 Peter. This is in chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. For if these things be in you, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing what he knows. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wow. When these attributes are formed in us, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, kindness, love, will bear fruit. If these attributes are not present with us, we forget who we are. and we can be led into false identity through relational messages of dishonor. I am going to say that again. When these attributes are formed in us, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, kindness, and love, that's when we bear fruit. And if those attributes are not present, we forget who we are. Going on, verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You're called to glory and virtue. Make it sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Oh, let that sink in. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen.
I preached myself out.
The everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ is here and now. And we can enter it abundantly when our calling is sure. To sum up how to get our hearts healed and avoid having our calling twisted, receive the love of God and his calling on our lives, and reject the calling placed on us by those who walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. 1 John 4:16-18. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. When we receive the love of God, people can't stimulate the hurts and fears of the past inside of us. God is looking for a people through whom he can flow his love and power. In order for us to be that people, we have to stop walking in the flesh, which is the nature of Satan, and adhere to the truth of our true nature, which is exactly like Jesus. We are love, we are truth, we are humility. Consider your calling this day. Think of what God has called you and what he has called you to. Many of us have received relational messages of dishonor through shame and guilt, childhood abuse, adult rejection, sexual improprieties, molestation, abandonment, and any number of other abominations that were not in God's plan for us. We've been called worthless and unclean, unloved and unlovable, inadequate and hopeless. Now let's invite the Holy Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Truth, to speak to our hearts and bring comfort and healing so that we can truly forgive those who have been used by the devil to define our identity.
Amen. Hallelujah. If that is you and you want your heart healed from those unmet needs of the past, all that emotional woundedness, to open yourself, to allow the Lord Jesus to bind up the broken heart, to bring comfort and healing, so that you can flow that forgiveness and the honor and the respect to others as precious gifts of God, then pray this prayer with me. We pray out loud because angels hearken to the voice of the Word of God. They can't read your mind. And we need them to be released to minister this word and make it true in our lives. Demons also need to hear. They can't read your mind either. So that they will know what your choice is. Resist the devil and he will flee. Amen?
Amen.
So pray with me.
Excuse me.
Praise the Lord. Father God, thank you for this word.
Father God, thank you for this word.
Thank you for your truth.
Thank you for your truth.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Sent from heaven to earth.
Sent from heaven to earth.
To bind up my broken heart.
Bind up my broken heart.
To set at liberty.
To set at liberty.
All of us who have been bruised.
All of us. Who have been bruised.
Who have been damaged.
Who have been damaged.
Who have been wounded by the world.
Been wounded by the world.
Father, I admit.
Father, I admit.
I have given other people authority.
Have given other people authority.
To tell me who I am.
Tell me who I am.
And I repent to you for having done that.
I repent to you for having done that.
I revoke that authority right now.
That authority right now.
I cancel the effect of the words that were spoken over me.
Cancel the effect of the words that were spoken over me.
Those words that took a sledgehammer to my heart.
Those words that took a sledgehammer to my heart.
And stole my identity.
Stole my identity.
I return the authority to define me.
Turn the authority to define me.
Who I am.
Who I am.
To the Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I am who you say I am, Lord.
I am who you say I am, Lord.
I am a saint.
A saint.
A prophet.
A prophet.
A priest and a king.
A priest and a king.
I am an ambassador in your kingdom.
Ambassador in your kingdom.
And a minister of reconciliation.
Minister.
I am an occupying force in the world.
Occupying force in the world.
And an enforcer of faith in the Spirit.
And an enforcer of faith in the Spirit.
I am who you say I am, Lord.
I am who you say I am, Lord.
I ask that you heal my heart.
I ask you to heal my heart.
Of the hurts and the unmet needs of my past.
And the unmet needs of my past.
Purge me of all callings placed on me by others.
Purge me of all callings placed on me by others.
Callings that oppose your calling on me, Father.
Callings that oppose your calling on me, Father.
Clear out the cobwebs that have clouded my thinking.
Clear out the cobwebs that have clouded my thinking.
Quiet all the noise. That has muffled my hearing.
Muffled my hearing.
I break agreement now.
Break agreement now.
With spiritual blindness.
Spiritual blindness.
And spiritual deafness.
Spiritual deafness.
And Father, I ask to be free.
Father, I ask to be free.
From those unclean spirits right now.
From those unclean spirits right now.
I accept you, Lord.
I accept you, Lord.
Your word.
Your word.
And your truth only.
And your truth only.
And I know the blood of Jesus.
I know the blood of Jesus.
Is all powerful and effective.
Is all powerful and effective.
To bring comfort and healing to my heart.
Comfort and healing to my heart.
Help me, Father God.
Help me, Father God.
To fully develop the necessary elements of character.
Fully develop. Necessary elements of character.
To fulfill my calling.
To fulfill my calling.
To glory and virtue.
Glory and virtue.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just speak right now in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. I speak to any unclean spirits of spiritual deafness or spiritual blindness that have blocked you from clearly hearing God's identity message to you. I speak to those spirits and I say, no more. I bind you with the cords of Yeshua HaMashiach and I cast you out. I send you to the pit to be burned. And I call forth ears that are circumcised to hear, hearts that are circumcised to understand. And I thank you, Lord God, for infilling your people now with your perfect love, joy, peace, patience, faith, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, every fruit of your Holy Spirit growing in us, because it is a part of us, it is a part of your divine nature, that we are created in your image and our nature is your nature. And I thank you, God, that we can see we are love, we are truth, we are humility, and always make those right choices. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Woo, amen, hallelujah. If you have a comment or a question tonight about the message or the meeting or us, push your *6 keys and we will be able to hear you. That will unmute your phone and put you back in the conference. *6.
This really touched me tonight. I have tears in my eyes, so I must have needed it.
Hallelujah.
I got some things released, I guess, huh?
Amen.
Wow.
The Holy Spirit is moving. Praise the Lord.
It is. Yes. The Holy Spirit has moved this entire call for me. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Claudia. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you.
God
all.
Is good. He is so
mm-hmm.
faithful. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? *6. We are so glad that you all decided to join us tonight. These messages on relationship, we'll finish them up next week on Monday night. And you will find yourself changed.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. New perspective on how to deal with people.
Yes.
Next week, we're going to look at how to be an initiator of blessing.
Don't miss it.
That's right. You know, we're not here to be blessed. We're here to be a blessing.
We just get blessed en masse.
Amen. That's what happens. When you come alongside someone and say, what has God called you to do, and how can I help you do that? When you, even if you don't agree with them on everything, when you help someone succeed in their purpose, God sees to it that you succeed in yours. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody else got anything to say tonight? *6.
If nobody has anything else to say.
Else to say.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all are such a blessing to all of us.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you, Mitch. Hello, it's Linda.
Hi, Linda.
I have an urgent prayer request.
Mitch, you will need to mute your phone if you haven't already.
I think
he has too, because I don't see hear any feedback.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
What is it, Linda? Very, very, just the bottom line. Who do we need to pray for?
His name is LaVon Lamberty. He and his wife both have COVID. He also has a heart valve issue. He was taken to the hospital. I said, Jan, is he on a ventilator? She said, no, and I'm fighting to keep him off of it. And I said, I will ask my prayer team that prays every morning to pray for him. And I've learned that prayer really is the key in the COVID, unless it's our time to go. But I would covet prayers for LaVon Lamberty and for Jan, that they both recover.
Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we lift LaVon and Jan to you, and we thank you that you have this. Thank you, Father, that any evil intention of any person, known or unknown, be absolutely ended. We curse this disease at its root, and we say you are arrested and you cannot progress. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm still coughing, Vicki. Would you pray for me, too?
Okay. Yes, we will. We will pray for you, Linda. Anybody else got something about our meeting tonight? Hallelujah. All right. Then I am going to ask Pastor Phil to bless us, pray us into this wonderful week, seal this word, and join us in the morning at 7:15 on the same line and the same dial-in, the same access number, where we do morning prayer, Bible reading, and we pray for each other. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you for your anointing, Father. You are a great blessing to us. We honor you tonight. We give you glory. Thank you. Lord, I just ask you, encamp your angels around your people tonight. Seal this word in their heart that they can grow to be all that you created them to be. So I thank you, God, that your hand is on everyone's life out there, that you are leading them, guiding them, and strengthening them in you to be like you and to do mighty exploits in your name in the earth. To be empowered by your authority. Lord, once we know our identity and where it comes from, we can do all things through you. So we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for your goodness. Thankful for your strength and your mercy on our lives. Thank you, Lord. Just ask you to encamp your angels around your people. And live your word, Lord, in power and glory, as you would have it be. And as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, blessed the children of Israel in Numbers, the 6th chapter, I get the honor to bless you out tonight as we leave with the Aaronic benediction in Hebrew and in English. Hallelujah. God bless you as you hear. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai ponav eilecha yifunecha Yisa Adonai ponav eilecha v'yisem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for your word. We give you all the honor and all the glory in it, Father. Bless your people abundantly as their comings and goings this week. Give them prosperity. Give them peace in all that they say and do. Be with them in all things, Father. Manifest yourself through your people, your chosen people, in this week in a mighty way, Father, as we turn all the glory back to you in the mighty, precious, powerful name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. I heard somebody say amen.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Have a great week, everyone.
Yeah, that was awesome, Phil.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Woo-hoo.
Mm-hmm. God bless you, brother. So says, brother. Hallelujah.
God bless. Thank you in the morning. Bye. Bye.
Hey.
Bye. Bye. Bless y'all.
Thank you. God bless
Thank you.
You.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his soul. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Love you.
Okay.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.